Welcome to Intesa San Paolo On Air, the English language insight series produced in conjunction with the University of Oxford, where we embark on global conversations with global leaders. My name is Rupert Younger, and in this, our latest episode, I'm in conversation with Professor Colin Meyer, one of the most notable and distinguished voices in the debate about the role of companies in society. This episode introduces the idea of companies making what Colin refers to as a just profit. And we will spend the next 30 minutes getting into just that. Colin is a fellow of the British Academy, a fellow of the European Corporate Governance Institute, a fellow of the Royal Society of Arts, and a research fellow of the Centre for Economic Policy Research. He is a professorial fellow at Wadham College, Oxford, an honorary fellow of St Anne's College, Oxford, and an honorary fellow of Oriel College, Oxford. He was an ordinary member of the Competition Appeal Tribunal and a member of the UK government's Natural Capital Committee, which advises the government on natural capital such as ecosystems, soils, freshwaters, and oceans. Colin has built his distinguished career building the case against narrow shareholder maximisation, instead promoting this notion of a broader view of business purpose as the key to improved economic and social well-being. And it's this broad theme that we're here to engage on today. So thank you, Colin, for joining me on the podcast. Let's start with what we can reasonably expect business to contribute to our societies today.
Business is one of the most important institutions in our lives. It clothes, feeds, and houses us, it employs us, and it invests our savings. It's the source of economic prosperity and the growth of nations around the world. But at the same time, it's been a cause of growing environmental degradation, biodiversity loss, inequality, social exclusion, and mistrust. And in particular, what we've been recognising over the last few years is that it's also associated with an increasing level of what one might term stranded assets in the corporate sector. At the heart of this is the very fuel that drives capitalism. Profit is the source of the resources of business. It's the incentive that mobilises people in a capitalist system. Without profit, there's no capital in capitalism. But we're misspecifying the nature of what a profit of a business is. Profit derives from the Latin proficere perfectus, to advance and progress. And that's precisely where a profit should come from, advancement and progress. But too often, it also comes from advantage of the few to the regress of the many.
Your argument then focuses on the idea that companies should make a just profit. Now, how should we be defining that?
Namely, that a profit is, of course, the difference between a revenue, the income of a business, and its costs. Its labour costs, its supply costs, and its capital costs. And the difference between those two is what we measure as the profit of the business. But of course, that's not actually the profit of the business, because a lot of that profit comes from companies employing people at below a living wage, employing people in their supply chains at below fair trade prices, polluting the environment, causing global warming, gas emissions, biodiversity loss, and the other detriments that we observe. And in particular, it does not reflect the fact that those costs that we measure do not account for the costs of avoiding those detriments, or where they do occur, at least cleaning up the mess that business has created. In other words, those costs do not represent the true costs of the business. And because they don't represent the true costs, the profit that we're measuring is not the what one might term just or fair profit, the difference between the revenue and the true cost. And indeed, I'd argue every time a business signs off its accounts as being a true and fair representation of its financial position. It's doing no such thing.
So companies are misreporting, presumably to flatter their returns, right?
This isn't just a problem of an overstatement of a profit, it's also a problem of an understatement of a profit, because companies cannot always capitalize on the good things they're doing in terms of training their labor force, in terms of creating improvements in the environment or conferring benefits on their societies. They can't always capitalize on those and earn revenues from them.
Are you not just talking about externalities, something that accounting looks at in detail already as a way of dealing with market failures?
But what I argue is that these are not simply external to the firm. They're very much internal or intrinsic to the company, because they relate to this main driver of a business, namely the profit of a business. And so long as we go on misdiagnosing the nature of the problem, we prescribe the wrong solutions.
So you have debated this extensively, and it's fair to say that not everyone agrees with your diagnosis or your solution. Why has this become controversial?
On the political left, we have those who advocate for more regulation, better enforcement of regulation, and a toughening of the tax on companies as well. On the political right, we see people saying, no, 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 that's an infringement of liberty and freedom. It undermines investment, growth, and jobs. And as a consequence, this is a source of a lot of the political divisions that we see, the fragmentation of society, and the polarization of the world that we live in.
So this brings us back to the role of companies in society and what they understand to be their purpose.
To address this, we have to recognize that this is not simply an externality. It is not simply something that is external to a company. It is very much intrinsic to the company. And what is needed is to elevate our aspirations as to what business should be doing and what its objectives should be.
How could this best happen? Let's start with what government could do.
15% on average of GDP around the world is associated with purchases by governments, public procurement. Governments could stipulate that as part of the process of commissioning companies to provide these services, they expect them to have as their objectives to create profits from delivering benefits, not detriments to others. The same goes in terms of the other policy instruments that are available in terms of chartering and licensing companies, particularly in the utility sectors, in terms of investing in partnership with the private sector. And that's before one thinks about the obvious tools that are available in terms of taxes and subsidies and regulation as it's conventionally considered.
So this brings us firmly to your argument on the role of business in society.
The purpose of the business is the reason why a business is created, why it exists, and its reason for being. It's very fundamental as a driver of business. Now, the notion of the purpose of a business that prevails now and in particular has become dominant over the last 60 years is the one that's associated with Milton Friedman, who famously said in his Friedman Doctrine, there is one and only one social responsibility of business: to use its resources and engage in activities designed to increase its profits so long as it stays within the rules of the game, which is to say engages in open and free competition without deception or fraud. Now, Friedman was absolutely right, as I said at the beginning, to emphasize the importance of profit. Profit is absolutely essential in terms of driving business and resourcing it. But he was wrong to suggest that this is the purpose of a business. This is not a purpose of a business. It derives from the purpose of a business. The profit and the financial value creation comes from the underlying driver of a business.
What, in your view, should therefore be the core purpose of business?
The purpose of a business is, is to recognize that we create businesses to help solve problems, to solve problems that you and I face as individuals, societies, and the natural world. But business has to do it in a particularly challenging way. It has to do it in a way that is commercially viable and profitable, because it's not charity, it's not philanthropy, it's not just about doing good. It's about creating value, financial value, for their investors. And so the notion of what a purpose is best understood as being to produce those solutions in a profitable fashion, to produce profitable solutions, not profiting from producing problems for others.
And why is this different from corporate social responsibility and ESG?
It is very different from notions of corporate social responsibility, which is just doing some good on the side. And it's different, in fact, from ESG, from environmental, social, and governance factors, which are essentially just a cost center from the perspective of many businesses. This is about how do you actually create more, not less, financial value for your investors than you would do if you didn't recognize this true underlying purpose of a business.
And your argument is that constructed this way, purpose becomes a strategic driver, not a positioning exercise, right?
This is the overarching framework within which the strategy of a business lies. It's at the core of the business. And it's about being precise about what problems a business is there to solve, for whom, how do they solve those problems, when are they solving those problems, and why is that business particularly well suited to solving those problems.
Which companies are defining and executing strategy in a purposeful way? You have previously spoken about how Novo Nordisk has constructed and enacted on its purpose.
Novo Nordisk produces insulin used in the treatment of type 2 diabetes. And for a long time, Novo Nordisk thought that its purpose was simply about producing insulin and selling it at as high a price and profit as possible, until it realized that there was a problem with that notion of its purpose, because 80% of type 2 diabetes is found in low and middle income countries, many of which could not afford to purchase its insulin. So it started to rethink its purpose, and it concluded that its purpose was really about helping people to treat type 2 diabetes and, if possible, avoid getting it in the first place. And its stated purpose is now to defeat diabetes. To do that, it recognized it had to partner with other organizations in the not-for-profit, in the NGO sector, in the public sector, as well as in the private sector. So it started working with hospitals and doctors and universities around the world, with governments, local authorities, and health workers to identify alternative ways that might be found of treating type 2 diabetes, and ways, if possible, people could avoid getting it in the first place through their lifestyles, and in particular, through the things that they eat and drink.
What impact did this have on Novo Nordisk's business?
Its business has flourished on the back of it. And I think there are three important lessons to be learned from this. The first one is that to really deliver benefits, financial benefits for the company, it's vital that a company brings real clarity to the nature of its purpose and goes on the sort of journey that Novo Nordisk did in terms of determining what its true purpose was. The second important point is that no company can on its own solve a major world problem. It has to do it in partnership with others. And the third point is that if a company can do this, then it creates one of the most important assets that a company can have, and that is to be trusted, to be trustworthy, to have the trust of their customers, who therefore become more loyal customers, of their employees, and therefore able to recruit people and recruit the sort of talent that they need, in terms of their suppliers, who become therefore more reliable suppliers and our communities and governments who are more supportive of the activities of the firm. And that is the basis on which that trust is then converted into financial value for companies.
Now, what about directors' duties and corporate law? Detractors argue that pursuing purpose needs to come in second place to the pursuit of profit. Is company law supportive of purposeful business?
The importance of the success of a business derives from the fact that, at least in corporate law around the world, the objective of a company is understood to be to deliver the success of the corporation. Now, there are two notions of what the success of a corporation might be. There's one that I cite here in terms of John Paul Getty's notion of success. Formula for success: rise early, work hard, and strike oil. Character: rise early, conduct, work hard, consequence, make a fortune. But there's another one, and that's due to the poet and author Ralph Waldo Emerson. To leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, this is to have succeeded.
And this is, of course, just part of the conflict that we see all the time when it comes to the purpose debate in business.
But that conflict has really come to the fore over the last few years as we've recognised the consequence of this sole drive of creating profit, come what may, on the impact that business is having on others. And it's critically important to recognise that business has a key role to ensure that the way in which it interprets its objective is the way in which one can reasonably understand what is expected of business from the law, from corporate governance, and from stewardship by investors.
So what ultimately would you recommend?
I'm therefore suggesting that at the heart of this should be the notion of profit without harm. That is the fundamental role of business to ensure that it creates financial value by not inflicting detriment.
Profit without harm, a concise and clear way for us to finish our discussion today. Thank you, Colin, for exploring with us one of the most important discussions of our age: how companies contribute to the societies which host them, rather than simply extracting value, has become supercharged as companies have in some cases become much larger than nation states. And my sense is that as we adopt more and more of the technologies that are so powerfully reshaping our lives today, the debate about the role of companies will only become much more acute. So that just leaves me to say thank you for listening, and until next time.